Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
In the Gospel for this weekend, from Luke, we have Jesus' Sermon on the Plain. Now, this is synonymous with Matthew's account. And yet, in Matthew's account, it's called Sermon on the Mount, because Jesus is now on top of a mountain. And yet, the teaching is exactly the same. In both Matthew and Luke, Jesus is teaching the apostles the Beatitudes. Now, in order for us to truly appreciate the context in which this gospel is set in, we have to go back a few verses in Luke's gospel. And when we do, we find Jesus praying. Jesus goes up a mountain and he prays all night long. And finally, at dawn, he chooses his 12 apostles. He calls them out. Notice how the gospel passage for this weekend begins. It says, Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a stretch of level ground with a great crowd of his disciples. Christ now has chosen his 12 apostles. Now comes the task of training and educating them according to what Christianity truly is. Essentially, the Beatitudes are the blueprint for Christianity. It's Jesus' vision of what Christianity looks like and is all about. Furthermore, by Jesus coming down the mountain and now explaining to the apostles as well as the other disciples just exactly what Christianity is, it invokes that great image of Moses, who spent 40 days and 40 nights praying on top of Mount Sinai. And then, after receiving the Ten Commandments from God, Moses comes down the mountain and presents the Ten Commandments to the Israelites and then begins to instruct them exactly what their covenant with God is all about. Well, now Jesus is the new Moses. He is now teaching the people exactly what Christianity is all about. When we go into the Beatitudes and we read them, at first they sound a little strange, a little bit difficult to understand. Blessed are you who are poor. Well, many people in our country work very hard to avoid poverty. Blessed are you who are hungry. Well, hunger is a very bad thing, especially seeing children go hungry. And our church works at a very fever pitch, not just in this country, but throughout the world, to make sure people are fed. Blessed are they who weep. Well, many people in our country suffer from depression. It's a very debilitating disease. Blessed are you when you are hated. Well, the natural inclination for any human being is to want or to desire to be liked by most people. And so when we read these Beatitudes at first, they often seem to be strange, hard to interpret. The best way to understand these Beatitudes is to read them through the eyes of detachment. If you read many of the writings of the early church fathers, they speak about detachment, freeing ourselves from the lure of worldly goods. In fact, St. Ignatius of Loyola referred to it as the indifferencion, being indifferent to the goods of this world. What we have to recognize is each and every one of us all has an infinite longing for the divine in our life. And why not? Each and every one of us is made in the image and likeness of God. And therefore, we do have this infinite longing and hunger for the divine in our life. And therefore, nothing in this world will satisfy that divine hunger. And yet, what's the great mistake? We attach that divine hunger, that divine longing for God in our life onto something else in this world. When that happens, we'll never be satisfied. We'll never be happy. Therefore, we must practice that indifferencion. We must attach that infinite longing for the divine to God. When that happens, then yes, we will be blessed. We will be happy because we now have united our life with the life of Christ. Now, with that in mind, go back into the gospel and reread the Beatitudes, because now they're going to be a little bit more clearer for us to understand. Blessed are you who are poor. Now, recognize all the Beatitudes begin with blessed or blessed. Remember, the Bible was originally written in Greek, and the Greek word for blessed is makarios. Makarios. Well, that can also be translated into lucky, happy, fortunate. And so, lucky are you. You are fortunate if you are poor. It begs the question, why does Jesus choose this to be the first beatitude that he teaches? I think it's because pride is one of, if not the deadliest, of all the sins. A person of pride can say with all genuineness, my life is about me. My life is about making myself the center of my life. It's all about my wants, my desire, my career, my ego. Everything else is secondary. How often do we hear in society or culture, you know, he or she, they're a self-made person. She or he, they're self-made millionaires. Someone who is poor is one who isn't proud. A person who has emptied themselves so that what? Now Christ can take up residence within them forever. A person who is poor spiritually can genuinely and sincerely proclaim, my life is not about me. Instead, my life is about me in relationship with God. And see, when that happens, when we can empty ourselves of our pride, that's when now Christ can dwell within us. I think St. Paul best proclaims it in Corinthians, in which he says, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Blessed are you. Lucky are you. Fortunate are you if you have emptied yourself and now Christ is dwelling within inside of you forever. Next, blessed are you who now hunger. Well, we should hunger. We should always hunger for holiness. Your desire, all of your will, should be focused on holiness. A great example of this is the lives of the saints. The saints constantly hungered and thirsted for holiness. Now, there are a lot of things in which we can hunger for in this world. Power, fame, money, materialism, honor, glory. There are many things that we can hunger for. But blessed are you who now hunger for holiness. Why? Jesus says, for you will be satisfied. If we truly hunger for holiness, just like the saints, then like the saints, we will become a holy people. Next, blessed are you who are now weeping. Well, isn't this wrong? Shouldn't we be a joyful people? See, here Jesus knows that sometimes doing the right thing throughout our life, doing the will of God always, won't necessarily always bring us joy. But instead, it will bring us suffering. We may have to bear the burden of the cross. Again, look at the lives of the saints. The saints suffered. Maybe not continually throughout their entire life, but the saints did suffer periodically throughout their life. Why? Because of love. Love for God and love for others in this world. That was at the center of their lives. Pleasure, glory, popularity, money, materialism, none of those things were at the center of their lives. Instead, love for God and God alone was at the center. The lives of the saints, their lives were not wrapped around receiving praise from all or receiving the praise for all the good works that they've done. Instead, their lives were wrapped around Jesus Christ. And because of that, they suffered in their lives. They bore the burden of the cross. Consequently, we must do the same. Blessed are you, lucky are you, if your life is wrapped around Jesus Christ. And unfortunately, you may have to suffer because of that, because love for God is at the center of your life. And therefore, you must bear the burden of the cross from time to time, just like Jesus bore the burden of the cross for us. Finally, it says, blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude and insult you, and denounce your name as evil, on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice and leap for joy on that day. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. As I've said before, in the spiritual life, expect opposition. The devil and the forces of evil in this world do not want you to grow stronger in your faith. In fact, that's the last thing that they want, for you to draw closer in a greater relationship with Christ. And therefore, you will be opposed. But don't be afraid. Why? Because now you have emptied yourself of your pride, and now Jesus Christ dwells within inside of you always. And therefore, there is nothing to be afraid of. In fact, one could argue that one way to measure or gauge how well you're doing in the spiritual life is to look at the level of opposition you have right now in your spiritual life. If a person says, you know, I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay, that person is not walking the spiritual path. Instead, blessed are you when people hate you. Lucky are you, fortunate are you when people exclude and insult you because of your faith and relationship to Christ. Take comfort in the words of Jesus. Behold, your reward will be great in heaven. My friends, Jesus now has called. He has picked his 12 apostles. Next, he must begin the work of educating them, teaching them all about Christianity. And he does so first by beginning with the Beatitudes. Friends, I strongly encourage you, take some time this week as we approach the very beginning of Lent. This is the opportune time for us all to reread these Beatitudes. Take them to prayer. These Beatitudes are Jesus' vision of Christianity. It's the blueprint for us all to live the Christian life. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.